Welcome to the Single Parent Podcast. Whether you've been a single parent for a while now or have just started on your journey,
the Single Parent Podcast is a safe place for single parents to get some great information and resources, hear the stories of fellow single parents, and connect with a strong and supportive community.
We want to help you go from surviving to thriving. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Single Parent Podcast. We're so glad you came back to join us and welcome to all of our new listeners. I'm going to toss over to Christina to introduce our guest today.
Hey everyone, welcome back. It's been a minute. I am so excited today to introduce an awesome guest to you. Sort of a social media personality. He only has 14 or 15,000 followers on Instagram and over 100,000 followers on Facebook. And I was like, damn, this guy's doing real good for himself. And I've been watching his reels with friends at work and whatever, and we just laugh all day. So without further ado, this is Sean Morso at Native Pool Boy. Go give him a follow. Sean, welcome to our podcast.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is it's like a really awesome opportunity to be able to like tell my story as like a single parent. Like, you know, I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. It's super great. And like having a platform like this for people like us is, you know, super important and like very, very like, I don't know. Very good. It's very good for people who really like kind of need that space to want to learn and like, you know, feel related to like certain topics, or if they're kind of feeling like they're alone, you know, they have somewhere to go and, you know that they're not alone.
Totally. That's the massive thing with this thing that we wanted to create, right? And that was one of the reasons that Christina reached out to you. She was so excited when she told me that you'd agree to come on our podcast. Because
making me look like a real fangirl here. Like,
you are. Well, let's be honest. You are. Like, let's call it what it is. Like, you are. which is totally fine, right? Like, that's what gets it started. And, you know, I'm sure other people will become fangirls and fanboys as well, right? Like, that, own it, girl.
I'm gonna own it. He's funny as fuck.
Anti vibes.
Straight anti vibe. No, not that bad.
Oh, it's funny.
It is. It definitely is. So, Sean, tell us about how you became a single parent, because this is something I definitely don't know. So maybe share your journey with us of how you became a single parent and what that looks like for you today.
For sure. I mean, a lot of my fans probably don't even know that I'm a parent. Some of them probably think that I'm under that age gap to even be a dad. But yeah, I mean, being a single parent for me was definitely unexpected. Just a, like a lot of trials and tribulations through like a marriage that I jumped into at a very young age, and we had a child obviously together, and we planned to have the child. So it wasn't like a accident child or anything like that. It was definitely a planned birth. So, you know, we were doing very well in our relationship, and then, you know, just things kind of go sideways, things kind of go up and down, and, you know, you have just differences and you kind of grow apart. So it was just kind of, me and my daughter's mother kind of growing apart from each other. And that just led to both of us separating and, you know, becoming those single parents. But like, we co-parent pretty well, but we're still like, both of us, like, we're single parents. And I've been a single parent now probably for about a year and a half, just kind of doing this on my own. When I have my daughter, the times that I do have her, and it's definitely a struggle and it's definitely hard sometimes, but it's also like, you know, that's part of my life, and that's a part of my life I accept, and that I'm very loving and caring about, and that I want to, you know, make the best of. And, you know, so I try and I put all my effort into it, and I balance, you know, my life of being a father with my work life, with my hobbies, and with my daughter's hobbies, and everything that she wants to do, and the plans and goals that she hopes to aspire. So
I don't think any of us really go into life intending to be single parents. No. I don't think anybody ever sets out and says, you know what would be really great is if I got to be a parent all by myself. Some people do. Actually, I will correct myself on that.
Yeah,
some
single parent by choice.
Single parent by choice. You know, so I do, I'll correct myself on that. But I think in general, that's not really the vision most of us have when we get married and have kids.
Definitely.
And that, right? So how old is your daughter now?
She is 4, but she'll be 5 in about 3 months now, actually. She's
Aww.
yeah,
Okay.
she grew up really fast in front of my eyes. Like, you could even probably
Right?
see. I don't know if she's in some of my old videos, but like, if you go on my page and like, I used to post like pictures with her and everything. So like, some of my fans that do know that I have a daughter, like they kind of watched her grow with me as I grew too. Like, I don't post about her much, but like, I just want people to know that, you know, if she's there, I'm a parent, I'm a dad, you know. I'm not out here not doing things. She ran up next to me. She's shy though. But yeah, she's like great. She's my sidekick. Like, I just told this to a friend today that I just met. Like, my daughter's my sidekick. Like, we're both villains. Like, we're out here to get everybody and get everything.
I love that.
That's awesome.
Is there, like, when you first became a single parent about a year and a half ago, did you find that you had a good support network, or did you feel like there were some resources that you could reach out to?
I definitely knew there was resources for me to reach out to, and like, they're there for me, like right at my hand. I didn't really feel like necessarily I needed them. I kind of went with like instinct and experience that I had, kind of just being like a caregiver to somebody. Because I know, like growing up, I had to, I had to like help, just like kind of take care of my niece as she was growing up as a at a young age as well. So just like having the experience of doing that, kind of just transferred over just to my own daughter, right? And just kind of being able to support her and do the things for her. In my own sense, for myself, having a support system is what mainly what I needed more, just not like raising a family, just for my own mental health, just kind of coming out of a relationship that long, and you know, and like going through all those different emotions and feelings, and you know, kind of needing support to like, you know, pick myself up and like get myself in a place where I could just, you know, do things and just have a good mental state of mind and good mental health, right? So it wasn't necessarily like raising my daughter where I needed the support or anything like that, but just like, you know, support for myself and my mental health and like the emotions that I was going through at the time.
It's a trauma to a certain extent, right? No matter how it happens. And we've talked a lot about trauma on the podcast, and it's a loss, right? It's a loss of a relationship. Sometimes it's a loss of a friendship, you know, depending on the circumstances. And it just, you're right, it does take a while to kind of right the ship for yourself, so to speak, right? Just to bring yourself back, 'cause you have a whole new way that you have to be now, right? You have to show up as both mom and dad and everything for kids, right? And even though, you know, some parents may already be doing that anyways, it's still quite an impact when that happens. So did you find that, like, within your circle of friends? Because I know for me, I was the token single parent, and still am in some circles. Did you find that there were people in your circle of friends who either are going through similar things or have gone through similar things, or did you kind of feel a bit like an island in the middle of that?
At the time, I actually had a friend who, like, just before me, he was going through that similar process. Like, he has two kids actually. So, just like kind of hearing his story and experiences that he was going through too, and it helped a lot. Like, knowing that he was like also there as well, dealing with the same type of things that I'm dealing with, you know, and feeling like I'm not alone. And he was very supportive, like, you know, always like reaching out to me and like sending me messages and checking in on my well-being and stuff like that, asking me to come out and like do things, and you know, just so I didn't kind of feel like I was isolated or isolating myself. Because you know, sometimes I tend to do things like that when I'm in a certain emotional state. You know, I tend to like just like close myself up from the world. I just don't want to deal with anybody. But you know, he just saw like a different like side of it. He's like, you know, you should come out with me. You know, let's talk about this together. You know, obviously we're going through the same thing. You know, let's deal with it together. And then I found, like, as I started to like go through my feelings and everything, and started to get over everything, and just started to move on as a single parent, you know, all the animosity was gone and everything between me and my partner and everything. So we were able to just like kind of find a civil ground, and everything was good. So we kind of went our own paths. I started to have more friends that were kind of going through the same thing that I was going through. you know, they're going through a rough breakup or something like that, and they're starting to become single parents. So just being able to transfer like my experience of like what I had to go through, the things that I'm dealing with as a single parent, like balancing my work life and, you know, raising my daughter by myself and playing both roles as like mom and dad, you know, giving that information and experience to them, you know, I think it's very like helpful. And they obviously need that support as well. Like they reach out and like I reach out to them, and you know, just kind of doing a full circle thing that my friend did with me, reaching out to me and like helping me, giving me that support, and I'm just doing it back, you know, kind of
like I love that.
Pay it forward.
I love that. You never hear it as often. I'm going to be honest. You don't hear it as often with single dads. You'll hear that single moms, they have this village and they'll reach out. And a lot of the times we have these conversations with single dads on the podcast. And a lot of the feedback that we have received is, I just sort of did it. Like I got up and went. But the fact that you reached out to that friend who was going through something similar, but they were a few steps ahead, and now you're able to pay that forward and help other people who are going through something similar that you went through. It's a really cool chain effect, as much as it like is a shitty chain effect that it has to happen. Like, like Christina said, no one wishes to be a single parent, but just having someone to talk to who's been through that situation, or maybe they just have really good advice for you, or maybe you have good advice for them and you can sort of branch out different ideas. Do you feel like in your community too, like with family and just your community in general, do you feel like there's a bit of support within the area that you live in? Because I find depending on provinces, like I've heard different feedback from people, like some are really community based. There's others that are like, I was on my own. I had nothing.
In Ontario here, I mean, it's pretty good. You got a lot of support. Like you can go like if you really need it, especially for like Indigenous people, and we really need it. It's definitely it's right at our dispense. Like it's right there. We can go to our nearest friendship center and like somebody's there for you right away. You got your call lines too as well, right? Like there's so many of them. I don't even know the names, but like there's so many helplines that are out there. I've used numerous of them throughout my life. Different places like in my like own community, my reservation, they do a lot of like support for stuff like that. And they're actually doing like a men's program here soon, just for like not just single parent that are men that are males, but also just like males in general that are just going through hard times as well, you know, who maybe grew up with a single parent, you know, so like maybe their dad was like a single parent or their mom was a single parent, so them getting to like, you know, have that support of somebody there, you know, who goes through stuff like that. It's just like you know, you never see like the perspective of it like that either, right? Like I think a lot of people really need to understand, like it's a very important topic, and we need to bring a lot of awareness to it.
And I'm glad you actually brought up the fact, it's not a surprise that you're Indigenous. I mean, your handle is Native Pool Boy, but something that I think about too is that awareness around Indigenous parents and how to break those generational cycles. And I'm glad that you brought up the fact that on your reservation, there is so many resources available. I know out in Vancouver Island, we have something really similar. I pretty much work at something that you would call a friendship center. It's not quite called that, it's a family society, but it's an Indigenous hub and resource for Indigenous families. So it's out there. And a lot of the times people don't know unless they like know someone that they can reach out to or whatnot. And this sort of leads into my other question is, do you feel that it is different raising Indigenous kids than if you were not Indigenous? And how do you parent differently if it's a yes?
I don't think there's any like difference at all, to be honest. I mean, we're not different from anybody else, right? We're Indigenous people. We're not like, just like somebody would be like, oh, I'm Italian, or, you know, I'm Greek, or I'm Mexican, or Spanish, or I don't think we're different from anybody else if we're raising our kids or not. And I think it's, you know, some people follow different traditions and stuff like that in different communities and everything. But when it comes down to it, you know, I think everybody raises their kid differently, and I support that. And, but also I think that we're all, you know, we're all the same as well. You know, we all give birth the same. Everybody is a parent. Everybody's a mom and a dad. So there's no like different way to raise a child, whether you're Indigenous or, you know, any other race.
Do you think there's something to be said for providing some extra support for men now. I know there's been a really big push about, you know, support single moms and all of that, but even just on the level of being a man today, do you think that there's space for a bit more support in that area? Because it seems like there's some shifting in how we view men and women now, and maybe some roles that we play.
I mean, for like single parents that are males, I think there would be not as like, when I think about it, I don't really see lots of like support or lots of like programs or things like that where like they can come together and really like get together and talk about different things or different issues or certain topics. Would it be nice to have that? I think that would be a very, very nice thing to have just for like any male kind of, you know, going through stuff like that. I'm sure there probably are some, but not that I'm aware of anyway. And I think that if there were, like, I would definitely benefit from it myself.
This is quite a big topic that's come up a few times on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, there are a lot of supports for single moms in particular, and not a lot for single dads. And yeah, it seems like there's just as many single dads as there are single moms now. And it just, my inner sense of justice is quite offended at the fact that there aren't a lot of resources for single dads,
I think there's a lot of like single mom programs and stuff like that. And I think they're put together by like these different organizations and different companies and things like that. From my perspective, anyway, from what I see where I live, that's what I see. Like a lot of different like company organizations will throw on these single mom programs, but I don't ever see them put on like a single dad program or anything like that. I see if there were ever to be one, and like there might be one or two, it's always the single dads kind of having to come together themselves and like do it themselves on their own terms or on their own time. It's not ever like a funded organization thing or like something where somebody's making like a big flyer and like renting out a hall or doing something about it, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's something that, again, offends my inner sense of justice, because, you know, men need the same support as women. And I'd even argue maybe more so, because there is, like you kind of went through that yourself, where there is maybe a block per se. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but when stress happens, when, you know, life throws a lot of curveballs your way, your instinct is to shun away. Right? Yeah. Is to isolate. And for some, that can almost be worse than sitting in the uck and the discomfort of talking about feelings, right? Because I know that's generally, and I say, I use the term generally very loosely, associated with women as it is opposed to men, right? We women love to talk. I mean, I'll be the first to admit that. That's what we do when we get upset or when we, you know, when we're dealing with things. But so being a father then, and kind of growing into your own with this, from when you started out as a single parent to now, what's been something that you've noticed has changed for you, and maybe how you face the world and how you come into the world?
Just like my routine, like everything about like just being just like a daily routine. So like having to follow, like I call it the rules or like a protocol, because it's like being able to set aside these things that I can be able to do that'll make sure like the house is going smoothly. You know, I'm going smoothly at work. She's doing her thing smoothly. Like I just want everything to go smooth, so everything's good. So I set things up, you know, like I get her lunch ready the night before, or like just having to follow like this routine that, you know, I didn't really necessarily have like 100% like responsibility to follow when I was in a relationship with like somebody else, because it was like a 50-50 thing. Yeah, we're putting our all into this child that we both brought in together, but we're doing it together, you know, we're both putting our time in. Now it's like I'm putting that extra time in, so now I'm gonna follow this routine that, you know, I wasn't necessarily like used to. Like I wasn't necessarily like, now getting into this routine, I'm just so used to it. So after a year and a half later, we just have our own thing, like what we do, where we go, what we like, you know, like things that we do. And you know, I co-parent.
You got like a consistent, like it just became consistent for you for sure. Like yeah. I think before, when you were together, it's like, okay, well, you can sort of rely on the other person to pull some of that weight, and then you're like, eh.
Well, yeah, like if I had to pick her up from school, I could be like, oh, like, hey, can you pick her up from school? Like, I got to do this or like that. But now it's like, you know what? I got to be there for her every time. Like, I got to pick her up. I got to drop her off. I got to make sure her teeth and her hair are brushed, all that stuff, you know, like just being on all that stuff. So.
Have you found becoming single? Because I'm not, how long were you in a relationship before?
We were in a relationship for like 6.5 years.
Okay. Wow. So quite a while then. The reason I'm asking is when I went through my own split, it was almost like a rediscovery of myself. Because I was in about a 16 odd year relationship. And so I got into it when I was about 19. So you're just kind of figuring out who you are, right? Like you don't really know who you are at 19. Nobody knows who they are at 19. But this, since my split, there's been a bit of a rediscovery of myself. Have you found yourself maybe on a similar journey of discovering who you are, and then, you know, who you are as a parent?
Definitely. Cause just like you, I went into my relationship very young. I think I was like 21. And then coming out of it was just kind of like realizing, okay, because I went from living in my parents' house, right, to moving in with her, and I never had that experience of kind of being on my own and like paying bills on my own, doing all that stuff on my own, not like living an independent life. Like, we were both codependent on each other, so now I'm just independent, doing everything on my own. And it was a very like fast transition from like being with her to being completely on my own with my daughter. Like, she's with her, like we have like 1 week on, 1 week off situation. So like it's kind of like almost got right out of high school, and like I'm living my life in my own apartment, like again, like not again, but like it's weird to say it, like it's kind of hard to describe too, but like kind of like I feel like I skipped this process that I'm in now because I jumped into that marriage so quick, and now I feel like I'm in this like part of my life that I should have been in first before I was married, but I have a child in this time now. So it's
we've all went through that.
So it's like I'm chasing my dreams and my goals. I'm fresh out of like school, and but I got a child, and I'm still chasing my dreams and my goals, and I'm making sure she has dreams and goals to chase too.
You're living through a throwback Thursday is what we're all going through right now, you know.
But I also went down like a healing path too, so because I wanted to I had a lot of like dark times that I went through during my marriage with her, like you know, and I wanted to be able to come out of just everything like a fresh person. I kind of wanted to just restart life, you know. I got a new place, I got a new car, I got a new job, I just like restarted. And I went down this road of like a spiritual journey to just kind of reconnect with my culture and just what it was to be an Indigenous person. So, you know, just discovering myself as an Indigenous man and like realizing like I have a path and a responsibility to learn my culture and to give that back to not only my daughter, but just like to all our people and everybody that's willing to learn and wants to learn, just to make sure that, you know, our culture remains and stays alive and our people are resilient and proud to be who they are. And I was gifted a spirit name, and my spirit name, it's very hard for me to pronounce in Ojibwe, so I'm not going to pronounce it. I'm still learning, but it's translated to tree standing alone. And at the time I didn't know what that meant, but I remember the elder asking me, he's like, are you a loner? And at the time I was very alone, like right after my marriage, I was like very like alone. I had like very few close friends. I did not much like with people, just kind of did my own thing. So I told him, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm a loner. And he told me that he visioned a tree, and like it's just a tree standing alone there by itself, and told me like you got to kind of figure out what that means, like. And as like I'm going through my journey in life and everything that's happening, I started to realize like I'm on this journey like to connect with my culture, and I'm the only one in my family doing that right now. And so I feel like I'm alone on that journey to kind of break a cycle that was affecting my family, which is intergenerational trauma, right? So I feel like I'm the one in my family that kind of has to break that cycle. I'm alone doing that by myself, and I'm doing that for my daughter. I'm doing that for like everybody that I love and everybody that I support and everybody that supports me. So
I have goosebumps as you say that. And something that came in my mind as you were talking about what the elder had told you when he said, you said tree standing alone is your spirit name. I know, like in the culture here, a lot of the times when they talk about the tree of life, they talk a lot about like the roots and like you being the tree. I'm just envisioning in my mind that it's like your elder is trying to say like you need to be deeply rooted within like where you come from. And that's you, like you're learning all of this culture, but you're alone doing it. Like you said, like your family's not in this journey with you. But the cool thing is, like when you think of a tree that's standing alone, a cedar tree is so big and so majestic. And it's just neat to know that it could be you. Like you could be growing. Like I'm trying
No
to get my
doubt.
cedar, trying to get my cedar tree hands
Well, he
out,
told me
but
like the branches,
that's
he
so
said his
cool.
vision, like each branch on the tree in his vision, like described like every different thing that I did. And he was like, so you're like a dad, you're an uncle, you're an artist, you're a singer, you're a content creator, you're all of these different things. And that's what all these branches are, because you're branching off and doing all these different things in your life.
You know, it's
I
interesting
love
that
that.
Christy, it's interesting that Christina pictured a cedar, because when you were talking, I actually pictured more like an oak kind of a tree, like a deciduous leaf tree. And I was thinking like you standing alone, but even a tree standing alone can provide shade for so many people. And I kind of feel like that's what you're doing with your social media presence, is you may be standing alone going through this journey, but you're using that solitariness to kind of help others, right? Like a tree provides shelter for insects and birds, and sometimes shade for other plants, right? Like even a
Definitely.
solitary tree can be helping other people, right? Which is kind of what you're doing with what you're doing on social media, which I think is fantastic.
It's funny. So when I got the spirit name, actually, too, because like before I went and like through my marriage and my breakup, or before I went through my breakup of the marriage, like the whole divorce and everything, I was gonna get a tattoo, and like I was gonna get like a tattoo of trees on my arm, like a tree to represent everybody in my family and everybody that I loved at the time, right? And like I was in the tattoo place ready to get the tattoo. And something told me to just get one tree for some reason, just one tree on my arm. I don't know why. Something just weird kind of told me, like, yeah, just get the one for some reason. And a week later is when we kind of like went through our hardship and went through our separation, like legit, like a week, 2 weeks later after that tattoo. And then after that, I went for my spirit name, and like some, like just like weirdly, it was like a weird, like kind of like emotional time for me, because like he told me my spirit name is Tree Standing Alone, and I'm like, I got this tree tattooed on my arm like randomly, and like something told me to get this like one tree, and I was just like weirdly like connected to like that for some reason. It made me very emotional, and I was like, holy, pretty
That's
crazy.
wild.
Christina's not the only one with goosebumps now. Holy
Yeah,
mackerel.
that's
You
really cool.
see,
Elders are like super medicine people, and I just, oh, like if I can get an elder in my life every day, it makes my day. And they're so wise, like the wisdom and like the knowledge keepers that they are, it's so special. And like, keep diving into that. Like, that is so important to like embrace your culture and, you know, continue on that learning journey. I know that you said earlier, that you were going through a journey during that, when you guys were still together. And I think you had said that you were almost, broken up, but you were going through a lot internally, and that's what had started that healing journey for you. Do you want to share a little bit about what that journey was for you?
I think it was just like both of us like kind of just coming to terms that we're both kind of falling like out of love with each other, you know? We're both kind of just like had disagreements, not like doing things like we would used to do like together, you know. Ended up like after like Scarlett was born, like she started sleeping in like the baby's room, right? And then after that, like it became to like the point where it's like now we're just like sleeping in separate rooms, and you know, it's not coming to the point where we're going to be sleeping in the same room anymore, just because like we're not feeling like that kind of connection with each other. And like it leads me down to like a dark place. Like I'm a very like emotional person, a very loving and affectionate person, so it led me to like a place where like I just felt like I needed to just kind of, go and do my own thing and just kind of leave. And so we just kind of separated. We started doing our own thing, kind of seeing other people, and it just kind of after that we kind of just separated and went our own ways. And it all kind of happened very fast, but also over the span of 2 years, as just having disagreements and trying to make it work and it not working out.
Those are tough thoughts and conversations to have, especially when
And
you shared a life with this person and you've built a life with them.
yeah, and for me, I have strong anxiety. I have bipolar disorder, so sometimes I get I can get super emotional. I can get down into that very dark kind of phase where I'm just feeling very isolated. I feel like I just don't want to deal with anybody and things like that. So I just shut people out and just do my own thing, and it's not healthy. Sometimes it can be good, but for the most part, it's not the healthiest thing. For somebody like me, anyway, when I need that support, kind of a little bit of guidance to just get me out of the blues, I guess,
Oh, definitely. I know for myself, I deal with both anxiety and depression, and it's a delightful mix. I mean, I know people sometimes deal with one or the other, but I feel those of us who deal with both, it's like a combination of I'm so freaked out, but I can't do anything about it, right? Like it's such a taxing thing to try and manage, and I'm sorry you had to go through that is something that you deal with, because as someone who deals with it too, it really sucks sometimes. And then you have, you're trying to show up the best you can for your daughter as well. And I know I go through the same stuff with my kids too. And sometimes you just hit that anxiety wall and it just doesn't let you go anywhere. You're like, okay, fine, I'll deal with my feelings, but then like piss off.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. It wasn't like a terrible split up or anything like that. It was just very It was just, I think it was kind of meant to be. It was this time for us, I guess. Some things happen that are fate, and I believe in fate. Things are just meant to happen like that. Maybe a lot of other people don't believe in that, but for me, I believe in I was meant to have my daughter. Maybe me and my ex were meant to happen, but not meant to be,
We also believe in fate and those kinds of things, and
100%.
what, oh yeah,
100%.
yeah, we're all exactly where we're supposed to be at this point
For
in time.
sure.
I firmly believe that. Tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing on social media. Maybe we'll call it some unintentional work, because from what you were saying, this following that you have, you didn't intend for it to grow this much, did you?
No, that was not necessarily ever the intention, though, but I mean, it's always good. It starts to become a little bit the intention. It's always a weird topic for me to talk about, because it's like, yeah, I never intended for any of this to be this big for me. I just wanted to make videos, where I live, trying to act or be an actor. There's no opportunity for anyone like that. I'm in this semi little big town called Thunder Bay, and there's not much where we are. We're all surrounded by bush and lake, so you want to go anywhere, you got to go to Toronto, and it's like you don't very get much opportunity out there unless you know the right people and stuff like that. So I just wanted to act. I just started to see that there's nowhere to act in my town. I wanted to make videos where I could act in, because that was the only opportunity where I could just play a different character. And I thought to myself, ever since I was a kid, it's so cool to be all these different characters. Why be myself when I could be many different people? I could just act and do whatever I want and just be silly and just express myself in all these different ways. So I started doing that. I just started making videos about things like I thought were funny or engaging, or people wanted to see things that I wanted to see. So other people, I think maybe other people will want to see it. And then it just started to become a lot of it started to become a lot of native related humor, because I grew up on a reservation, right? I experienced a lot of stuff out there, and Indigenous people, we're so funny, and we're able to take a lot of things to humor because we're just very kind people. We're very lighthearted, and we're very easygoing, easy to pick on ourselves, easy to take things as a joke, because we're always knowing we're never serious, right? So I made videos about like experiences I've gone through on the res and stuff like that. And, kind of made this name for myself, which is like so weird, like Native Pool Boy. And it's like, that's like a whole nother story, just like where that
Yeah, we
came
need
from.
to know that actually, because everyone wants to know
Don't know
why
if I
the
can
hell
get
is he
into it because I
called
don't even
Native
know if
Pool
I'll have
Boy.
time.
Go
I
on,
don't know if I
keep
have time to get into that story
going.
because that's like a long story,
Can
but
you
it
give
comes
us
from
like
this.
the Cliff Notes version?
Yeah, like the Cliff Notes is like it comes from like TikTok and everything like that. So a lot of people on there will have like I noticed at the time had like funny different names and stuff, and like the people that had weird funny names got a lot of attention, a lot of clicks on their videos at the time. So I just like made like this weird name, which at the time wasn't Native Pool Boy, but it was Your Mom's Pool Boy, because like I thought, like people are gonna come up, they're gonna think like I'm this like young handsome man that cleans like the Desperate Housewives pool or something while the husband's at work, and like that's what I
Yes.
was like catfishing or baiting people to come in, click my videos, and be like, oh, this guy's not a pool boy, like. But it slowly started to become my brand, just like not like Your Mom, but like that part, just like the pool boy part, just like people were just like, I don't know, they started calling me pool boy and everything like that, and I started to see like my videos were more native related, so I turned it into Native Pool Boy. And that's where that name comes from.
I was
Yeah.
wondering if that
Yeah, we were
was,
talking
yeah.
about that at work. Like, why is it Native Pool Boy? Like, he
Yeah.
doesn't clean pools. That's
No.
funny.
I did absolutely have a flash of like Desperate Housewives Cabana Boy
Oh,
kind of
that's
thing.
funny.
That yeah, oh, I
You
can't even
felt
remember
it.
his name.
You felt
Oh
it.
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
No,
that's funny, eh?
I love that. Yeah, because that was exactly my first thought when Christina sent the, sent the message thread between the two of you over to me. I was like, oh, that's an excellent handle.
I know. I was a little jealous. I'm like, I wish I would have thought about something good like
I
that.
got Pool Boy tattooed on my knee now, like on my upper knee, just like in
Ooh.
small
Do
writing.
you really? Oh, that's
Yeah.
amazing. I love
We love
this.
it.
So I'm at the
Yes.
pool, people will see, like, yeah, Pool Boy. I get noticed a lot in public now lately. Like I was out at the store today and like somebody noticed me and she's like, you're Native Pool Boy. Like, I know you. I'm like,
That's
oh
amazing. You're a
man.
celebrity now.
I
It
don't like to
grows,
like
it's growing so fast.
I don't think about myself like as a celebrity or famous, but people do. Like people be like, you're famous, man. Like I'm not famous now. I
When you say
laugh at
that
that.
now until you get like millions of followers, you're like, holy shit.
Well, we'll see how my stand-up comedy goes because I'm doing my stand-up comedy debut this year in Ottawa
That's
in March.
congratulations.
Congrats, that's
Yeah.
huge.
Well, I'm going to do a
Huge.
couple open mics leading up to it, but I'm not counting those open mics because those are going to be like my practice runs to like this comedy festival that I'm going to be debuting at. And then
You need to come out to the island and totally do stand up out here. I could totally set something up for you.
I
You would
was
have
born
a
out
sold
there.
out show. Where are you? Where were
Yeah.
you born? That's wild.
I'm not on the island, but I was born in Surrey.
Okay.
Yeah, in the wrong side of the
Yeah, there you already got something for your stand-up right there.
Oh, fuck.
Oh man, that would be
Yeah.
an excellent title for a show. The Wrong Side of Vancouver.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah.
Crazy.
That's so
Yeah,
awesome.
I go back from time to time, but I actually have somebody who might be booking me to come out there. I don't know where out there, but I think at the end of August he wants to actually fly me and Scarlett out.
That's amazing. If you come
Yeah.
out, let me know. We're definitely meeting up.
For
And I gotta
sure.
come to your show. It'll be sold out, that show. I'll tell
I'll be
everybody
going to
I know.
Vegas in June as well. Like I got booked to do a show in Vegas. And I
That's
haven't even done
awesome.
like one stand-up like show yet, and like
That's
they're trusting me.
huge.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh. This is
I feel confident,
wild.
semi-confident. I'm just super nervous because I'm always like an anxiety type of guy. I'm a big ball of anxiety, so but once I'm up on stage, I'm just gonna like just do my thing.
You
Tell them
just
you need
roll
an
with it.
Yeah.
Ativan halfway through. I need
No,
Ativan. Freaking the fuck out,
no.
man.
Oh God. I've done comedy just not like in person. Like a lot of them have been like Zoom and virtual, or like I do like little bits when I travel to different communities to do like motivational speaking or like music
Awesome.
performances and stuff.
That's
So
amazing.
dope.
I was actually curious with your with the videos that you do put together. Has there been one or two videos that have been your favorites and why? I'm curious because I am a videographer by trade, and there are certain projects that stick out in your mind, right? So what are some standout videos that you've put together?
Of my own, there's a couple of like really old ones that like I made like probably like 3 years ago now, maybe. It was like a remake of like a commercial, and it was instead it was like a man's cologne, so it was called like Big Bear Spray and Snag. So like you spray the cologne and you snag it
Fucking would probably work too.
Oh yeah, it was great. And then I made like a spoof off of that one, which was like Bear Grease styling gel, and like I styled my gel, like my hair in all these different ways, like using like bear grease. And it was like greasy like a fucking bear was the
God.
But those are like old videos. Like I don't think anyone even sees those anymore because like I don't show them off. Like they were shot when I was with my ex in like our old house. I just don't. I think they're cringe, but like I love like the idea of them and. I can't watch them, but they're my
You know
favorite for
what? That'd be
sure.
awesome.
I feel a repost coming on with that. Now that you've mentioned it, it may be worthwhile to repost. Be like, hey, look how far I've come, or
They're
have
not even
I?
on my like Native
Oh,
Pool
they're
Boy Facebook
not.
page. They're on my like
Oh.
personal Facebook page. That's how old they are.
Oh, wow.
It was before I
Okay.
made the page on Facebook, yeah.
Well, you could
Okay.
just like recreate it and be like, ha, it's new content. Just kidding. Like, why
There's
does it
a
look younger
lot of
here?
good videos. Like I remember a lot of them were like probably really good. Like the ones that hit 1 million first, like I was blown away when I hit my first 1 million views on the video.
So maybe just give us some more info about your next show. Can people come and check out the show? Is it already sold out? Are there any tickets left?
I mean, yeah, for sure. There's probably definitely tickets left. It's gonna be like a 700 seater. That's what they said. I'm so nervous. It'll be in Ottawa at the Algonquin College Theater, March 23rd. I don't know exactly what time, but you can get your tickets on at go to comedy. What is it called? Crack Up Comedy Festival on Facebook, or I believe they have a website as well. And then you can just look up their dates. And if you go to the March 23rd date, you'll see like my name's on the poster. You'll see my face. It'll tell you all the information that you need to know. The Vegas show is going to be in June, I believe June 24th, if anybody's out in Vegas. That one's probably going to be really big, really huge show. Not a
Oh,
lot of
yeah.
information I know yet on it, but there's going to be information to come. So just follow me on my social media pages and everything. Like I'm always
Yeah, and
posting, I'm always trying to
send us the
keep
info
up to
too
date.
as it's coming, and we can totally repost on our story too.
For sure,
Yeah,
definitely.
100%. So your handle once again is at Native Pool Boy on Instagram. Do you have any other handles you'd like us to give a shout out to? Or is that the main one that people can go and check out all your amazingness?
I do music too, but like I'm gonna be doing like a huge music change in like my music where 'cause I go by a different name for my music and I'm gonna just make the change where I'm just gonna do Native Pool Boy for everything. Like my music will be by Native Pool Boy instead of by this other name. So if you want to view my music right now, it's at Sean Skies, and Skies is spelt with a Z instead of an S at the end. So just at I am Sean Skies on Instagram. So I am Sean Skies. If you want to view my music, or you can just type Sean Skies in on YouTube, and I have a couple of videos up there and some songs up there.
That's
Awesome.
amazing.
Of
Thank you so
course.
much for coming on. It was an absolute pleasure talking with you.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Thank
I'm really grateful that you came on and shared your story and all the good things that come with it.
Well, thank you so much again for joining us today, Sean, and for all the rest of our listeners. Please follow us on all of our platforms. We're on Spotify for the podcast, Apple Podcasts. We're everywhere. And follow us on Instagram, single.parent.podcast. We'll be posting stuff about Sean and all of our guests. So stay tuned for that. And we'll catch you on the next episode.
You can find more great episodes featuring helpful information and amazing stories by searching Single Parent Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or visit www.lifesongfilms.com and click podcast.
Thanks for joining us today.
And remember, we're all in this together.